everyone, and welcome to Those Good Old Fashioned Values. And we've got a real throwback episode for you all today. Yeah, we're
throwing it back.
Yeah.
Much like we were working at a strip club.
Yeah, we've got a real back shots episode for you today.
I'm listening.
Yeah.
with our two favorite butt goats from the entire internet.
Yeah, Boozy called him up on speed dial just for us. And it is, we are talking about Clone High with Remember Shuffle. We went on their show to talk about Family Guy and relive the worst years of our lives. And now we're adding them to the torture chamber. So, woo. Ben, Giordano, welcome.
Pleasure to be here.
How you guys doing?
We're doing good. That's usually what we would ask you, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm talking to the audience. I'm not speaking to you guys.
I'm feeling like a power struggle here. Like you guys are trying to take over our show.
Well, you guys came
how are
on
you
our
doing?
Show and domed us.
How are
you? Can fucking have it.
Yeah. You can have our show. That is true.
We don't even like it anymore.
We like it now.
Struggle.
So, we are doing an episode on Clone High, which is something that people have probably been asking for or asked for at some point.
I imagine. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't have offhand proof, but I'm sure like at some point it was requested.
Yeah, I haven't read the comments in a bit, but like when I close my eyes and I imagine what one of our fans are saying, like, yeah, it's probably Clone High.
Yeah. And I'm just going to, you all were the ones who suggested this. So I'm curious.
What's not our fucking fault? It's you.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, no, you thought you got the bullying's going to get worse now that you're on our show.
Oh,
no. You think you're going to hash this out because you go to the bully's house instead of hanging out in the locker room? No. His parents are going to join in, too.
Going to the bully's house to try to get him to stop bullying is such a funny mental.
I mean,
I get the implication was like with a parent or something.
Yeah.
But or like to talk to his parents. But the idea of just like,
once the bully really understands me for who I am, I think we're gonna be tight. Be home.
You're bullying two Canadians. I feel like you're just going to insult us, and we're gonna be like, "Thank you for that constructive criticism. I will try to work on it."
is Tommy home? Well, first I brought some carnations for him. If you could give these to him. And second, could you maybe ask him to stop kicking my ass?
So. Why did you all pick Clone High of all shows? I'm curious, since I've actually never watched this show before. Shock of shocks.
What the fuck? Really?
Yeah.
Well, this show came out. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say.
The show came out when I was three.
Just to answer the question directly, we chose it because Ty mentioned it on our podcast. I had heard you speak about it on your Family Guy episodes and on your podcast in general. And so I thought it'd be good because it's something that Ben and I had very strong feelings about in high school. We both downloaded this one off LimeWire, and we were really into it. I think we were part of like the original people who were like trying to get it back on the air. And it now has a reboot, and it's
you were protest. It was like you and the Indian people who were just like a battle of wills.
We were the counter protesters to the angry Indians about Gandhi.
A couple white teenagers.
Fuck you guys. We're going to eat as much food as we can to keep it on the
Yes.
Also, you
a
guys say
strike.
We were one of the first ones to ask for it to come back. Like, reads the same as like, yeah, I was kind of like the first guy to wish on a monkey's paw. I was kind of the first one doing that shit. Like, not a lot of people talk about it, but I was the first one who found that thing.
I was coming at it from an opposite direction, which is like he was like being like, yeah, we were actually at the first Bad Brains concert. Yeah, we actually saw Fugazi before they were cool.
Yeah, I've kind of wanted to do this maybe on our show. So you bringing it up was a great opportunity. Like Jordana said, we watched this when we were teenagers in high school because the show came out before you were born.
Because you guys were both 38, yeah.
Because, yeah, we're 34.
33.
Loser.
33 and a half, Jordana. Yeah. No. But I was also just genuinely curious to see how it would hit for someone who is younger, how like the different viewing experience would be, because this was made, I cannot stress this enough, this show is for teenagers. The fact that the theme song says now the clones are sexy teens now, you better be a teenager. Okay?
Nah, pause. Well,
I mean,
pause.
If I know anything about North America in the early 2000s, you don't have to be a teenager. Do you think people had countdown clocks for when Joan of Arc turned 18.
Countdown sundials.
That was, yeah, the biggest issue I had with them not doing a second season. I'm like, now Joan and Cleo can't turn 18, you know.
Yeah. Fuck, I only have, back then you're like, I only have 2 more years to jack off to them. God, I forget who. There's somebody in Philly who has a very funny joke about that. Where the, and I feel bad, I can't credit
Bill
them,
Cosby.
But just, yeah, it was Bill Cosby. He was a Philly guy.
He is. That's why I said it.
Yeah, it is. We have a pretty dog shit sample of comedians who've come from. It's like him, Kevin Hart, Shane Gillis, and Ian Vidance.
Hell yeah, Matt McCusker, I assume too.
McCusker too, and I like him and Gillis. I think they're both funny, but Kevin Hart and Bill Cosby are maybe not the best representation.
Not an Ian Finance fan?
He's a Delaware guy.
I like him on podcasts.
Mm. Yeah. I saw one of the meanest comments ever on like a clip that he put up, which was just, you need to start drinking again.
Yeah. he responded to that. He got mad about that. Oh. I can't talk too much shit because like he does do stuff in Philly and like, you know, Philly people are like cool with him in a way that I do not want to like disrupt the ecosystem. I smoked a cigarette with him outside of the Helium Comedy Club at one point, but like I don't think the special was his best work. I'll say that.
I haven't watched it yet. I'm looking forward to it though.
I was too busy watching Clone High.
Yeah, I was preparing for this.
But anyway, the joke is just like I regret when I was in high school, I did not realize the limited amount of time I had to take advantage of being able to masturbate to 15-year-olds.
Jesus
Christ.
That joke, I hope that joke kills in Philly.
Yeah.
By the way, Ty, yeah, don't stop eating. Don't worry. Don't stop eating. Don't worry about it.
What the fuck?
Just because we're recording a podcast doesn't mean you have to stop eating.
Trudano, we're guests on this pod. Yeah.
What? Should I stop breathing as well?
You know what, Ben? Yeah, she's
treating this like
legitimate.
she's like the lord of like an evil crime syndicate. She's just like casually just like snacking and stroking her cat.
Bring me the traitors.
So, what do you all think of the show now that you're old and decrepit and you're not in high school anymore?
This might all be nostalgia, but I think it mostly holds up.
It's a great show. Yeah.
Some episodes are definitely better than others. I hate the rock opera episode. I hated it in the moment. I still hate it now.
Yeah, it's
good.
Rough.
It's pretty painful. I think the Snowflake Day episode is perfect. It is like a perfect episode of television. I think the pilot rocks. Yeah, I like it. I like it because it is a parody of moody, self-serious teen dramas. And as I'm sure we'll get into comparing it to the reboot just is that thing. The reboot is a self-serious teen drama in
yes,
a lot of ways.
Absolutely. I really liked it. We just did a Adult Swim episode with Chris Wade where we gave you guys a shout out on that one, actually. And I thought that this show went down smoother, like as good as any of the Adult Swim shows that we watched. If not, like I think I literally LOL'd more often. You know, a JFK singing lines like away in a taco, no spice for my lamb. It just like killed me.
Yeah.
You can put it aside or beside like any of the Adult Swim heavy hitters. Like, you can match this up with Squidbillies. Like this, this could go head to head with Mr. Pickles.
Oh yeah, you better believe it.
Yeah. No, yeah, I. Oh, sorry. Say
no, I was going to say I love the style of comedy that they have. Right, they got a ton of wordplay. I think the jokes per minute is very high. They got great little sight gags. And the fact that if they ever just need to reach for a joke, they can reach into all of human history and have some really low-hanging fruit for an offhanded little comment like, oh, that Napoleon, he must have some kind of complex or whatever.
Yeah. Or like, hey, remember Elvis and how he got fat?
Yes. Yeah,
they have two clones, one for fat Elvis and one for regular Elvis.
Like, hey, remember how Genghis Khan is like mentally
but has the voice of an angel, right? So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's got layers.
Well, that's That's historically accurate.
I gotta say, by the way, the fact that the reboot took away Gandhi is maybe the first time I've truly felt in my bones what it's like to be a cancel culture has gone too far guy.
Yeah.
Like, just, I'm not even that attached to like the Gandhi character in the show. I was just like, why did you let this country bully you?
20 yeah. years later.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, they threatened to shut down MTV India. Like, the president of MTV flew to India, and they went outside of the office of MTV India and like picketed, and the government threatened to like close down the entire network. So they,
it's like, yeah, that's fine. They still have Bollywood. Like, they don't need MTV.
MTV also, needs them though.
It's not on MTV anymore. It's right. on Max. Is there a huge?
If anything, I imagine HBO is probably more gun shy. Right.
Yeah. Also, there are like 2 trillion people in India, and probably more Indians watch Clone High than Americans do. So just by sheer numbers,
it's very funny to imagine. Like an Indian person watching Clone High being like, oh, that reminds me of Dawson's Creek. Oh, I see what you were going for there.
I was telling Ben, though, that the reboot kind of suffers from like so many things. But one of the things I was most annoyed by is they take these historical figures like Abraham Lincoln, like JFK, who were great. And they like, everybody in that original series is pathetic and like bad.
Yes.
Right. And so they introduce these new like POC characters in the reboot. But like they're too afraid to like give them flaws. So you have people like Frida Kahlo's character who just like is flawless. She's cool. Yeah, that's her whole character.
Yeah, who just skateboards around and it's just like, what's up, dudes? What's up, skaters?
Like, which is funny because like in the original, one of the funniest jokes is like they have Frida Kahlo and she acts like she's in a Latin soap opera.
Yes.
Just like
yeah. And you can see the failure of that because the one funny character in the new season is Christopher Columbus, who's like, oh, everyone hates him now, so we can just make him a piece of shit.
Right. The one character they were willing to make a piece of shit is like the white character that they introduced.
And then everyone else is just like Confucius is my favorite because like at least with the other two, with like Frida Kahlo and Harriet Tubman, you can kind of see like, all right, I guess like in an Abbott Elementary sort of way, like that could be like a fun... You know, like that could be like a type of character where it's like, oh, here's a conflict that could come from that character. But Confucius, the only thing they do with him is just like, what's up, y'all? You got Snapchat?
Oh my
like,
God, so annoying.
Yeah,
like, where can you go with that?
I cannot stress enough that those three characters that they introduced are just what even older millennials than us think a Zoomer is like.
Yes, it's exactly.
Like these characters, these OG run characters is like, let's take the historical figure and let's invert it. So Abe Lincoln is known for his profound wisdom. Let's make him oblivious and a moron.
Yeah.
Joan of Arc, known for faith. Let's make her a cynical goth girl.
Yeah. Confucius, known for hating Instagram.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so lame.
Or I think Frida Kahlo is the best example of that because it's like we're doing the opposite. Okay, now we have Frida Kahlo. She's known for being like a dark, like a cool artist. Let's make her a dark,
Krosky,
cool
right?
artist. You know,
yeah.
Let's just make her exactly
she's not even
what
dark.
She was.
She's like the leader of like a college steps club.
Yeah,
we're just like, I like she's cool, but in that like high school cool way where it's like she's like, "What's up, dudes? Today we're learning about safe sex." You know, like in a way where like, yeah, I'm the class president, but I also get down.
I would love it. So when they were making the show, like I was kind of wondering, like there's some like old celebrities they could have been taking shots at pretty easy. And then I was like, oh yeah, they were afraid of getting sued by the Marilyn Monroe estate or or the Albert Einstein estate. But I was just wondering, it would be funny if they just doubled the fuck down on that in the
Adolf
reboot.
Hitler.
Like, well, they had Hitler, but like, what if they had like an MLK character, but he was gay, and just see if they could get sued by his homophobic granddaughter who's still doing stuff?
That would
thing
be
is
funny
bad press.
If they went the complete opposite direction, where they're just like, they have an MLK main character who's just like, what's up, blood? I hate cheating on my wife.
I love being faithful.
I've never had a dream in my life.
That's not bad. That would work.
Yeah. When the moment I go to sleep, it's like a blank slate, and then I wake up 8 hours later.
Yeah. MLK has insomnia. That's how little he dreams. Boom.
There we go.
That would actually... That would be significantly funnier.
that I, about the original series I was telling Ben is it really felt like two shows grafted onto each other.
Yes.
Like, there's a show called Clone High about, you know, sexy clones.
Yeah.
And then there's another show called Principal Scudworth and His Robot Butler. And the A-plots and B-plots just drift farther and farther away from each other. Like, they don't intertwine at all.
Yeah.
I don't like the Principal Scudworth stuff, but I do kind of respect how just increasingly they gave less of a shit about pretending like this is one show anymore. They've just got two completely different things in the air.
It's like they got The Odd Couple over here, and then they got Dawson's Creek over here, and never the twain shall meet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like Better Call Saul.
It's postmodern.
I came up with another funny idea for a character they could have done in the reboot. Mm-hmm. It's like if they had Shakespeare, and just every time like they was like, Shakespeare, what do you think about this? And he's like, fucking...
I love it.
Oh, go get back to me.
There's
they have
a couple...
Albert Einstein's like
Did you see the third episode where they basically just like ripped off Big Mouth with like the anxiety monster?
No.
Oh yeah, they have like the anxiety monster who always pops up whenever someone's feeling anxious, and I'm like, oh yeah, that's just stealing a concept from a more successful show.
I'm so mad that they do make a clone of Karen Carpenter joke in the original series because Karen Carpenter clone, but she's actually fat, but no one can say anything about it because they feel bad, would be a perfect character.
Well, that's the thing, is like, I think when they were willing to take more shots like that back in the Wild West of 2000 animated comedy, they were able to farm a lot more out of, like, because history's fucked up. Like, a lot of fucked up shit happened in history, and like, I think being able to, obviously not being like cruel about it, but like being able to point at them being like, that was bad, right? Is like, that's how you make good comedy.
Yes, yeah. This is something Ben and I were talking about. It's just like all the edges are filed down on this show, and we kept yelling like, who is this for? It's not for young people. They don't watch TV. Like, and old people, like, are they interested in this thing where like everybody's flaws are filed down? Like in the original, everybody has these parents who are like just hilariously like punching down either at like blind people or alcoholics or gay people.
Consistently like the hardest I laughed at the original series, which I'm like not as into as you all. No, was fucking the Ray Charles character. The Ray Charles.
Yeah.
Just like all the gags of him just staring at a wall.
Yeah.
Joe, you're alive. I thought I killed you for biting me so much.
Fucking Cleopatra's mom.
He's so good. He's like, Jonah, I can tell from your sobs of joyous laughter that you're doing well. Did someone tell you a good Pope joke at school, Jonah?
Yeah. Like, no one can, like, because, like, multiple angles, like you can't do the wise old black guy, you can't make fun of disabled people, but like combining that is such a potent comedic like idea where it's like, yeah, he's like, he's constantly telling you, he's constantly giving like this good advice, he's given like the deep homespun wisdom, but he's also dumb as shit because he can't see
I mean, if you really watch the show, you know he could have gone pro at basketball if it weren't for racism. Okay.
I gotta say also, The more the show leaned into like distinct parodies of like Dawson's Creek or the teen stuff, which I'll admit I haven't seen, but the more it leaned into that, the more I liked it. Like, I really loved the ADHD stuff. That was phenomenal.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Just the tone of
Hold
the
on,
fucking...
I gotta take a minute to process this. I mean I will put my money down and say the Ponce de Leon episode is one of the best episodes of television.
So good.
Yeah.
Yes.
One of the best meta jokes, like with the setup of being like, one of these beloved characters will die this week.
And then just showing Ponce who they've never had in the show before. Yeah.
The way he dies of litter is so great.
Yes. It's a double issues episode. It's the issue of litter and then like dealing with grief. But the way that voice actor delivers weepy JFK lines in that voice. Oh, I was in a coffin with a dead guy. Yeah. Perfect. Perfect.
JFK, can we agree JFK is like the comic powerhouse of the show?
He's the best character, I think. Will Forte has the best, like, maybe voice, but JFK is like carries the show for sure.
Yes. And then the fucking, if you watch the new season, they bring him back. Christopher Miller does not have it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, he loses the voice, and it puts a, even more than like all the new characters, it puts a damper on the show, because it's like, if you can't get that right, like, why the fuck are we watching this show 20 years later?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, we were talking in terms of parodying the teen stuff. Like, I love the episode with the recurring gag of don't get on that plane for the mm-hmm. melodrama.
Yeah.
That this show came out in what, 2002, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's literally how Friends ended in 2003 was like, don't get on that plane,
that
Ross going
every
to the
movie,
airport.
Yeah. Can you imagine? I mean, I'm sure people have done it now, but it is funny how quick you would get shot doing that. It would be like instantly. And it would be by like the fucking roundest troll under a bridge looking high school dropout you've ever seen. Just the least dignified way to die.
The guy who also has better benefits at his job than you.
Uh-huh.
But
like a guy who got into it just being like, well, I couldn't get my degree and I like touching people's hips. So, you know, match made in heaven.
Yeah. You know, since I look like a cow from Harvest Moon, everything else got ruled out. So, yeah, just molesting, groping, you know, that's what I'm good at. That's my calling.
I was going to go into business, but they said no one would buy from me because I look like a frog-themed Pokemon. So.
Yeah, cancel culture just makes it so I can't, like, back at my desk job, I couldn't grope people. So I got the one job still in America where freedom rings, the TSA.
I've been here 20 years. Post 9/11, we used to be able to stick two fingers up there. Don't let us do it anymore, but for a time, it was magical.
The TSA are like the only people who I do not feel bad about being like customer service related people that I do not feel bad about being rude to. Like I always try to, even the most obnoxious fucking person working at a fast food place, I'll be like nice and understanding to. If a TSA agent touches one thing of mine, I'm like, well, glad you're saving the country.
I would say like 70% of the flights I take, I don't even tip.
Hell yeah.
JFK, I like that in the John Dark episode, his like horniness supersedes his like toxic masculinity or his straightness, because he just like sees a guy and he's horny, so like he doesn't even question it. He's like, oh, I'm gay now. Like,
I guess I'm gay. Yeah. Which, and again, like, honestly, that's representation for a certain type of person, I imagine.
Listen, I know all of the foster parents are stereotypes, like gay or Jewish or magic Negro or whatever.
Well,
but...
you can't.
Pardon?
We got some standards on this show. You can't be dropping the M word. Unless you are referring to the title of the movie, The Society of Magical Negroes.
Yeah, or the James Baldwin documentary, I Am Not Your Negro.
Yeah. Or but just like if you're pretending like you're from the 1920s.
Yeah, or if you're you're using a really offensive Spanish accent and you're saying
or if
color
you're
black.
Rapping along to a jazz song.
If you're scatting along to a bebop jazz song, then you are allowed to say it.
Okay. Yeah, I say that word, but only when I'm scatting along to in my jalopy.
Yeah, I'm alone in my Model T listening to ragtime music.
The horn goes auga. I'm doing a little skibbity beep bop boop bop, and then you know it slips out.
You know, maybe sometimes I'll partake in one too many jazz cigarettes, and it'll just put yeah.
But yeah, even these like stereotypes that I think the show is laughing at the stereotypes more than embracing them. We have JFK's gay dads helping him through the transition to watching Will and Grace. You know. I know changing the channel can be scary sometimes. They all watch Will and Grace together. It's beautiful.
Yeah. It is funny how homophobic you were allowed to be back then. Like, because it is, obviously it is funny. They do a lot of good jokes with that. But when you see those designs for the first time, at the very least for me, obviously, you know, we are significantly younger than you guys. Like, you guys are like in the generation above us. So I watched this, I think for the first time in like 2018. And the first time I saw those designs, I'm like, that counts as a hate crime now, right?
Yeah. Yeah. One of them has the fucking sailor tattoo.
Yeah, with
on
the little heart and the yeah.
Yeah, it's a little weird too. It's like was gay guys be looking like an orc a stereotype in 2000?
Well, no, but this
only
stereotype
one of them,
was
only the butch one.
Yeah, yeah. That was, I mean, the stereotype was always like one of them is like a you know rough and tumble, wearing like a wife beater, you know, with like the stubble and like kind of like Harvey Firestein, mm-hmm. and then the other one is just like feminine but in a really like I guess you could do like the flamboyant feminine, but to me even more insidious is the idea of like the feminine but in like a very like nerdy way. So it's just like that to me, that is like when people in England like draw a leprechaun and you're like, oh shit, I forgot you could still be racist.
Nice.
People in any European country making the same Polish jokes we do.
Yeah.
It's like, oh.
It's like, no, you actually hate them.
Yeah. We get to make those jokes because we didn't take all of their light bulbs. You did.
Yeah. No, we just made them cops. Like, we gave them jobs over here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If anything, we saved them.
Yeah.
We yeah, haven't mentioned.
I, we got. Go we on. Let them indulge in all of their hot dog related fantasies over here.
We let them open funeral homes that have really long and funny names.
Yeah, we even pretended like it's not tough to say their surnames. My best friend growing up, his last name was Klimashevsky, and I had to pretend like that was normal.
Yeah. So
if you think about it, we're kind of the heroes here.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I
what
want to say
make the American Society of Magical Polish People.
No, you have to have wisdom to give in order to be magic, right?
Yeah, it's like, listen, if you got a strong enough guy, you only need one for the stool.
We should talk a little bit about the progeny of this show, because I think it is notable that this show gets made by Bill Lawrence, who I just thought he was like some weirdo who made this show. But I mean, this guy went on to make Scrubs and Ted Lasso and Cougar Town for all those who celebrate.
I can see the Scrubs influence, or you know what I mean? Like, I can see the influence of the show on the humor of Scrubs, and that like it is very kind of awkward. I think this one is comedically more adept at what it's going for. I have never been that big a fan of Scrubs, but I see the way in like most of the humor comes from like awkward pacing and small contained flights of fancy.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Donald Faison Faison. He voices Gandhi too.
This guy went full normie, dude. He like he looked at the show getting canceled and consigned to the dustbin of history and was like, okay, I think the problem was the clones. Yeah. I think that was the problem.
Got to do this with regular people now.
Yeah, because Ted Lasso? Dude, every episode is a very special episode. On the next very special episode of Ted Lasso. Like, he jettisoned the parody for sincerity, and I'm sure he made a lot of money from fucking Apple TV Plus or whatever the hell it's called.
I
sat down like after this show wrapped, he was like, you know, I think the issue was there was too many Supermen.
Should focus on the real Supermen, people dealing with emotions.
Well, I was making a joke about the Scrubs theme song.
Oh, right.
Yeah. God, I'd love, do they have like, you know, on Ted Lasso, they have like a realistic panic attack scene. Like, they should. Do they have that in the Clone Eye reboot?
Oh, I bet they do. Sure. Just give
there's
it
two
time.
Seasons.
They have
now.
Like an Ian Curtis clone
there's,
having
wait,
like a real
season.
Attack.
Yeah, there's two seasons of the reboot.
Oh my god.
Yeah, it's still going. It hasn't been canceled yet, which is insane.
What the fuck? I mean, I'm glad. I guess they're getting work. Will Forte obviously has enough going on, but like fucking Nicole Sullivan, I've liked for decades. Ayo Edebiri, I know people who like her, so I'm fine with, you know.
Who does Nicole Sullivan voice?
She's Joan. And she was also in the short run. You guys actually might know it better than a lot of people, because I think it started as a Canadian show. Did you ever see 16?
It rings a bell, but I don't think so.
It was like a show about like six Canadian teens who work in a mall. And she was the voice of like the sporty one on that. And I was a big fan of that show growing up.
Hmm.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
she was Shigo from Kim Possible.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
And another thing, sorry, I hate to keep circling back to the reboot, but like in the first episode of the reboot, they're trying to do the 21 Jump Street thing, like these clones are out of time, whatever, whatever, and they try and make a big plot point about cancel culture, where Abe says something's gay and then says something's.
Oh,
and
yes.
I was like, I wanted to pull my hair out because, like, he never said, the show never used those words in that way. So you were, like, making a scandal where there wasn't one.
That's something JFK would say. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But the things that the show did do, the cancelable material that the show did do in terms of, like, Gandhi or Toots, the reboot just ignores. They're like, oh, I can't believe Toots died in that clarinet accident or whatever. And it's like, dude, this is so fucking pathetic. You are a coward.
It's just a refusal. Well, now they're the fucking Spider-Man guys. Like, they don't want to court controversy like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I said, you guys can correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like this whole thing about, like, Gen Z being, like, more sensitive and kind, like, that's something that I think millennials, like to imagine. Like, I told Ben, like, my cousins who are in high school, like, they call me a gay nerd just as often as my boomer uncles. Like,
the stuff me and Ty's students have said back when I was a teacher.
To be fair, those are Gen Alpha.
Gen Alpha. But that stuff is, there's no words for how offensive some of that shit got.
Literally 2 days ago, I had a kid who I was teaching, I guess 3 days ago, had a kid who I was teaching call me gay, like, behind my back. And I had to walk up to him and be like, you got me. nailed it. First try.
Yep.
Like, they are, yeah. I mean, I think there is definitely a strain of, like, overly woke. Mostly it's people on the internet, which is why I think a lot of, like, millennials who are too tuned into Twitter get that impression, because too online will, like, tend towards that, because, like, the people who are calling people game are also probably doing that in real life more. But
just being in the moment, using slurs.
Yeah, exactly.
Beautiful in a way.
But I think that, like, while there is definitely, like, recognizably, like, yeah, there are some fucking 20-year-olds around who are, like, willing to get offended at the drop of a hat or whatever, I do think the idea that that is Gen Z writ large is definitely seems like a millennial invention.
Yeah.
And honestly, I think a lot of the qualities that, not you guys, but, like, people of your generation ascribe to Gen Z are just the more annoying millennials. They're just like, I bet they're still doing that.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The I also want to say that doing a cancel culture joke in the first episode of your show that was actually canceled. As a TV show canceled. Right there on the table. You could have done a whole clever thing about it. It's like, oh, it was cancel culture that got us the first time.
The most they do is wink at it with, like, they're like, whatever happened to Gandhi? And they just show him still frozen. And it's like, you can't even, like, it's not even like a joke. You're just, like, reminding people that, like, yep, this used to be a part of our show and we jettisoned it for another dog shit season. Yeah.
Yeah. He's kind of, it's also wild. They just, like, they dropped him like that since he was a pretty core part of the original show. He's not like
central three building blocks of it.
He's not like Cleveland where you could just, like, get rid of him or whatever. No, this guy's like one of the main characters. He gets a B plot every single fucking episode. You had him gay kiss Abraham Lincoln.
I watched all 13 episodes of the show. I did not see Cleveland once. Meanwhile, Gandhi, you're right. Like, he is, if he's not in the A plot, he's in the B plot.
I'm convinced the only reason there was protests over Gandhi was that he got together with Marie Curie in the end. Like, had he fucked Joan or Cleo, they would have been like, what a beautiful representation of Gandhi.
They should have given Gandhi a baby girl. Yeah.
I did think there was some, like, there was quite a few, like, oh wow, this really is the 2000s moments when I was watching, especially anytime, like, Joan would attack Cleo, she would use like she would call her, like, a whore or a slut. Like, those were times where I was like, ooh, like, they definitely wouldn't do certain, like, that's actually something that, like would seem very out of place now.
Just like calling like a woman like a whore or a slut now, you'd just be looked at like, do you have like a condition?
What you're calling? You're saying what? Cool.
It's like, oh, like people would just look at you like there was something wrong with you. Like, oh, you were a short bus kid. I see. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, or you're fucking planning a shooting, dude.
Yeah, like, yeah. Those two. I feel like slut was just like, that's not an insult anymore, where whore is something like only guys who aspire to be Elliot Rodgers say anymore.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Uh-huh. In a post Cardi B America, yeah, you can't call anyone a slut anymore.
They're proud of that damn thing.
After all these, yeah, damn rap artists and you know what I call him?
What?
Crap artists.
Got him.
Uh-huh. That would actually be very, if you were like talking to someone, they're like, all these crap artists, and you're like, what are you, is it 2005?
What?
Like, no, I'm talking about someone who does art with their shit, like a monkey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So now I've got to ask the important question. Who?
Sure.
Who you got? Cleo or Joan of Arc? Who you got?
Cleo. 100% Cleo. Definitely. I'm with Abe's dad on this one.
Yes. I think, you know, for the sake of the pod, I got to say yeah. Joan, but my actual answer is also Cleo. Joan is, listen, Joan is too into Abe. There's nothing I find less attractive than a woman who's into me. Marx Brothers syndrome. You know, I need someone who has nothing but contempt for me to really, you know, feel anything.
The thing is, if Abe was 10 years older, I'd say Joan, because like that's when you're actually sort of like looking for like a long term partner. But like if you're in high school, you know, why not go with like the more fun adventure? Rather than like the best friend who you might get married to.
Yeah.
For sure. For me, I gotta go Mr. Sheepman.
Andy Dick?
He seems like a provider.
He's comfortable.
Yeah. He could give warm. Me a good life.
Yeah.
He's got a teacher's salary. Back in 2000, you could buy a house on that.
I bet resting your head on his like fur or his wool would go crazy.
Yeah, I would never get cold.
Yeah. If you ever need a coat, you could just shear him a little bit.
Did you guys ever see the show Undergrads?
No.
Oh, okay, what never mind. But
I live that show.
It was a very similar show, but it played on this same archetype of like love triangle where you have like the main character who's a guy, his best friend who's like a very cute alt girl is like in love with him, but he lusts after like the Veronica figure. And it just seemed like a very common archetype at this time because it gave the guy, the protagonist, the opportunity to be like, oh, everybody, you know, hot girl wants
him. I can have it all.
I can have it all. Yeah. I can have the best friend.
One of the characters in the show was named Gimpy.
Yes.
It is.
You can get away with that now.
The same show as Clone High, except without the clones.
That's a big part of Clone High.
A teenager called Gimpy is crazy.
That's insane.
It's also a one season show that was also on MTA. It was MTV and was also made in Canada.
Yeah, they had one season.
Yeah,
they had one guy in the writers' room called Rapist Dan. That's a character called Gimpy.
I know that guy. He was on our pod.
Dan the Rapist, please stop. We'll put
please
the character
stop.
In.
Stop. We're all worried about you. Stop jaywalking. You might think I'm a rapist. That's actually just what I was named at birth. However, I do a bunch of other crimes.
And I talk like this.
And I talk like a... I talk like an anthropomorphic rat in a cartoon.
I mean, about this love triangle, I think you could tell that... I mean, they made this, like... kind of obnoxious winking joke in the Clone High reboot about how there was apparently only one woman in the entire writer's room for Clone High. Mm-hmm. And I think that comes through because, like, I find Joan being in love with Abe very unbelievable because Abe has no redeeming qualities.
Yeah, he's just
tall.
He's tall.
He's terrible.
You'd be surprised how far that can get you.
He's got a beard, which in high school is important.
He's got longer sideburns. Yes,
slightly longer sideburns. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then like Cleo, I think they're like every now and then they try and add a little bit of depth, like I don't know, she whispers to Abe before she gets on the plane, you were the one, or whatever. She has a moment where she almost feels sympathy for Joan. She's like, I never realized you didn't have a mother. And they like they make a meta joke about how like how she almost feels sympathy. But then the show just goes back to being like, yeah, she is, in the words of Joan of Arc, a vapid slut. Right?
Yeah.
All right, between undergrads and this show, like, I kind of understand how incels happened. Like, just I'm not saying it's good, but like if you watch all these TV shows, it's like, all right, when I get to high school, I'm going to have options between a hot goth girl and like a stacked Middle Eastern looking girl. And it's up to me to choose, and I can take my time and they'll both be pining after me. And then when you don't get that, like, I'm not saying you should fucking shoot up like a fucking restaurant, but like I understand why
shoot up
it happened.
Something. Yeah.
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 You can take it out somewhere.
That's what incels want. They're like, I want my government mandated alt woman backup option.
I wanted my government mandated love triangle, which goes on for 13 episodes.
I should be allocated at least once a year. I'm not saying I'm going to use it, but I should have the option of retaining emergency pussy. Yeah.
Exactly. That's what Elliot Rodgers was in his manifesto. I'm pretty sure that was in there near the back.
Yeah.
That would be funny if there was like two pages about Clone High and the Elliot Rodgers manifesto. It's like, I was promised.
I was promised more jokes with Gandhi.
And furthermore, in real life, both of those women would go after JFK, even though I have the supreme intellect.
I like the idea that it wasn't related to the women on the show at all. Like, he had his whole manifesto, and then part of it was just also like, and by the way, why not a 16-episode season?
I thought the prom ending was underwhelming, and it didn't give us any closure.
I don't see why they kept going back to the George Washington Carver well. He was kind of a one-note character.
Well, that's what set him off. When the alt-girl backup option was deflowered by the Chad bro JFK, it was the tipping point for him. He's like, well, time to get my gun and get in my car. Drive over to Cleo's house.
You know what? I don't think Will Forte is as varied an acting talent as people say he is.
He just kind of does the one thing, doesn't he?
He just has one voice and he kind of hits the same notes every time.
It's a good voice, but it's not that versatile.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to disagree with imaginary Elliot Rodgers right now.
I also disagree with that. I'm just saying, I'm giving him things to complain about on the show.
Yeah, no.
I'm a Will Forte fan. Although I do think, like, I love Will Forte. I think lately they have just been, like, going too hard on the Forte train, just everyone.
Mm-hmm. My God.
When he was old Scott in the Scott Pilgrim anime, I was like, we should have found a different guy for this. This is insane.
I mean, I showed Giordano the last time he was over to visit an OG MacGruber sketch on SNL. MacGruber is awesome. And the MacGruber movie is like the last good movie inspired by an SNL sketch. But
Coneheads.
I think MacGruber's after Coneheads.
Yeah, oh, shit, you're right. Yeah, you're right.
Hold your ground, Ty. Hold your ground.
But I also showed Giordano, like, they rebooted a MacGruber sketch in like 2020 or 2021. That's about COVID and QAnon, and it is so pathetic. It is the lib-brained version of like a right-wing movie that needs to get each and every single little pet project issue in there. It's like they mention hydrochloroquinine or whatever the fuck. They drink. They mention the horse medicine and the worms and whatever. Like, it's so bad.
That is, I think that's the frustrating. We're moving away a little from Clone High, it feels like, but that's the frustrating thing about a lot of projects being made today, Clone High included, is that so many mainstream comedy projects are drawing from the same well of Twitter affiliated, you know, like Letterboxd-esque writers that like all kind of blends together with like the same cultural examinations and the same like, you know, observations about whatever topic of the day it is, that like everything's just starts feeling the same. And I think crucially because they are drawing from New York and LA specifically, and there's like a very ingrained comedic sensibility in both those cities. I feel like obviously different between the cities, but I feel like both of them are like very, maybe not monolithic, but both of them, because I think the competition is so high, both of them require a certain kind of voice to be developed to get attention, or at the very least to get through in those specific industries, that all of the, I feel like so much writing on shows like the new season of Clone High, or, you know, name a sitcom being made today, Superstore, Abbott Elementary, whatever. I feel like so much of the cadence is shared between vast swaths of people who have gotten to the point in the writing industry in those cities that, like, yeah, they are just they're trying to shove as many references to things they've read on Twitter and just
in Twitter, like in the past 2 weeks too, right?
Yeah, exactly.
It's like stuff that's gonna age like fucking milk because it's the story of the week.
And I feel like that is just such a like dominant mode of TV writing right now that like it's no surprise that it affected the comeback season of the show because it's affected so many shows being made right now.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
I'll say
I pulled
Will Forte.
To Clone High. Yeah.
I'll say of Will Forte, it takes a certain level of talent to do like a really good, serious, like, yeah, straight man, deadpan almost.
Yeah.
Like when he delivers lines, like some of my biggest laughs come from them writing teen melodramatic lines and hearing Will Forte deliver them just perfectly, where it's like, you sent me up a river with a paddle made of my heart or something of that nature. Or like, you know what hurts the most, Joan? This nail I just stepped on. Like,
you know what I think?
Flawless delivery.
A weapon in this show's arsenal is that, like, I'm sure they get credit for, but I don't think they get enough credit for. The way that every actor in this show, and maybe that just comes from good direction, knows how to do the perfect pause.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Like, so many of the lines in this show would hit way less hard if they did not hit, if they were either too short a pause in between them or too long a pause in between them, but they let it sit for the perfect amount to make it feel like a very true to life but also comedically exaggerated sitcom like line reading.
Yep.
Yeah.
Absolutely. 100%.
Yeah.
No, yeah, that's dead on. The whole cast generally are like really, really well directed in this. There's like a tug of war because one of my most controversial opinions on this show was that I never really liked all the Nixon stuff in Futurama. And and I was like, there's a part of me that was maybe a little resistant to some of this on the same level, but they really do, as the show goes on, they get like a little bit more looser and don't feel as indebted to the whole like, up, we're subverting these characters, and they like get to have a little bit more fun with it. And that's why I'm mad that they didn't get a fucking second season, because like by the end of season one, it really feels like, okay, we've got this figured out and we've got the tone figured out. And also the show gets more and more violent as it goes on. Like there's more blood and guts everywhere as the show.
Yes.
I like shuddered when Abraham Lincoln has to fucking eat glass. And I was like, oh, yeah, yeah.
Again, just perfect comedic heightening on that Nork episode from eating the glass, getting the Nork buried in his face, to like chewing on the Nork and slitting open his cheek, to the bite-sized wiener razor, just heightening every time.
Yeah.
The meta line, because that's the other great thing about Will Forte. He does a great deadpan straight man delivering something ridiculous seriously. He's an amazing comedy yeller too. His comedy yelling chops are excellent.
Yeah, Ben, you also pointed out that like the animation was what it reminded of you of Picasso. You said right, and
the cubist face, right? The way that Abe's eyes are this way, and he's always kind of in profile. Yeah,
and I found that I like the and maybe it's just a nostalgia thing. And Spencer, you can correct me, but like it's the reboot. It really felt like the animation seemed like less unique. And I don't know if this is just like the result of doing it through a computer, but like in 2002,
probably,
when they're making the original series, like the animation style was like unique to this show. And you could only see that on the show, like the way Scudworth's fingers would curl when he was excited. And when I was watching this reboot, I just found that it was like everything again just gets like softened and starts to look more like everything else on TV. That's a lot less unique.
That kind of happens with every show when they go into digital workflows. Like, I mean, it happened with South Park.
With Family Guy, for sure.
American Dad, especially.
Especially
since the budgets on American Dad kept getting slashed.
Well, yeah, once they got put on TBS, they had like 3 frames an episode.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, no, it looks like a Fanimation by that point. It's a little tough.
Like the writing is still solid in some of those like TBS seasons, but it looks like a jib jab cartoon.
Also, Was it just me, or did they kind of green M&M Cleo in the reboot? I felt that they kind of...
Ayo?
I think that they made her less sexy.
All right, hang on a second. I got to do some digging here.
Because I don't know, I feel like they like part, and maybe this is just like a Gen Z thing. We're always hearing about how they're not having sex anymore, which again might just be like a millennial projection.
Because they are like 18 years old. It's like, damn, I can't believe these teenagers don't want to get pussy.
I mean, that's the age where you should want to get pussy the most, you know? But I found that the reboot was significantly less like erotic. In general, like every episode,
Jordano coming in hot with the Tucker Carlson take.
What's going on?
Yeah. You can't fuck Cleopatra or Joan of Arc anymore. What's the point of rebooting the show?
When I was in high school, we had a little show called Clone High on the MTV channel. And every night when I went to bed, I would tug my stuff while looking at a picture of Cleopatra. I'll come back to it now. They have a reboot of the show. I'm like, maybe I can revisit old memories. So I sit down, I turn on the show, and I see Cleopatra. Do not touch my stuff once.
What is going on? Even the smoking raisins episode.
They have made Cleopatra, the most beautiful woman in history, they have turned into a boner killer.
We're not asking for Skullgirls here. We're not asking for Kill la Kill or something racy. We just want a little eroticism back in our cartoons. But you can't have that anymore, according to the left. What is going on?
Back in the original episodes of Clone High, they used the angular creation of the characters in such a way that you could imagine the exact size, shape, and dimensions of Cleopatra's pussy.
Mm-hmm.
Come to the new show. I can't imagine it at all. What does she have down there? Beats me. She could have a penis down there. I wouldn't be able to tell you because they are lacking in sexualized art direction.
Cleopatra is no better than a C cup. Wasn't like that when I was young.
Much like they're encouraging young women all over this country to do, they have given Cleopatra on the TV show Clone High a breast reduction. They are telling these young women that your breasts are something to be ashamed of. Not for feeding kids anymore. Now they're just for making your shirts fit weird.
Not for seducing
And that's what they want your daughter to believe. They want your daughter to believe that her sweater puppies should go to the pound.
And they also recast the voice actress
so
that it was someone from the Middle East.
It used to be Kristen Miller, and then they replaced her with Tucker Carlson.
Abraham, my pussy is waiting for you right now. I'm not a liar. I don't lie.
The theme of this year's awareness fair is, and this is what they want you to believe, awareness. That might be my favorite line. Maybe a top 10 in all of television history.
Mm-hmm.
The theme of this year's awareness fair is awareness. And again, back to the pauses. It is, if they just played that straight, the lines, whatever. But just the vacant stare that she gives before saying that elevates it beyond anything that they could have done writing-wise. It is all in the performance.
Did any of the writers for this end up writing for Community? Since I know they wanted to have a running gag where they would have like a prom every three episodes or something. That's something Community does like later. So I was just wondering,
that's a good question,
if they maybe scooped that up. Because that is like one of my favorite running bits in Community. Like all the little dances and dioramas that they have.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, the prom on Clone High is specifically called the Winter Prom. So
yeah. I don't think so, but I think that is an easy comedic conceit to hit on when you're doing something in a school that is meant to be kind of silly and meta.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where it's like if you're making fun of the convention of like sitcoms and school related shows, I think like one of the first places your brain goes to is like, well, what if, you know, every time we went to do a special episode, it was just another school event?
How many school dances did you guys had? Since I think by the time we were seniors, we had five.
A year?
Yeah, five a school year.
We had two. Yeah. I mean, the semi-formal and like the formal.
Spring fling.
Yeah. I think we only had one, and then like homecoming. Maybe there was more that I just didn't go to. I have no clue.
Well, yeah, we had homecoming, and then we had oddball, which was like the Halloween thing, and then we had the Winter Dance, and then we had Sweet 16, which was the Sadie Hawkins dance, and then we had prom. Mm. So, yeah.
That's so many dances.
I know, it's too many.
But to be fair, you went to like a cotillion-ass high school, so like,
yeah, no,
that makes a little bit more sense.
You gotta get all the bang for your buck there.
Yeah, like that's where you guys like did all of your political intrigue.
Yeah, that's where we purchased all of our slaves.
You went to like a Machiavelli Varys ass school.
Yeah, no. No. Oh, God. The best part of prom was the slave auction for sure.
Yeah. Instead of cheerleaders at Spencer's school, they just had guys who tented their fingers menacingly.
Prom is where you make all the arranged marriages, all the alliances that you're going to have for later.
Yeah, the woman that you asked to the homecoming dance was your wife forever. You had to get
at
permission.
Spencer's High School, they called all the freshmen little birds.
They just taught Greek and Latin.
Yeah, Latin and English. They
did teach Latin. There was a Latin class you had to take in seventh grade. You know, there are so many jokes that you could just like. There was a golf team. It was a problem.
The only sports team they had at Spencer School was croquet, golf, and gamja bar usage.
They had game hunting classes.
They didn't have shop class. They just had carriage maintenance.
They had to hire someone else to do shop for you class. Oh, God. Yeah, I went to a fancy lad school, which is why I'm so good at talking.
If you're on the honor roll at Spencer's school, you got your own personal butler.
If you were on the honor roll at Spencer's school, you got molested. That's what happened.
I mean, that's how you get.
And you know what? You were a better man because of it. Oh my God, I have my genealogy final tomorrow. And I haven't even been molested yet.
Man, the worst part of going to school with Spencer is that first day of freshman year, you had to come back and ask your mom, like, please, can I have $80 for calipers?
I need them for class.
I need them. It's worth 40% of my grade.
I can't pass history without it.
I can't do it by hand.
Oh, yeah, there was that one poor kid who never brought his calipers, and we all made fun of him. It was kind of fucked up when you think about it, but no. His family only made five figures. What could you expect?
Yeah. Instead of the poor kid at Spencer's school, they just had the kid who couldn't grow mutton chops.
Or he was land poor, like the family owned a bunch of land, but they had no money.
You know, you joke about this, but like there was a kid people were mean to or like didn't talk to because he was poor, because he wore like camouflage hats. His parents owned a house. He wasn't poor. Yeah. He just wore like camouflage hats.
Yeah. Spencer was bullied at school for being the only Catholic. He was bullied for.
I say, Lawrence, your parents can only afford 7 slaves for your land.
I will say,
you must be the most unfortunate I've ever met.
I will say, the bar mitzvahs at that school were events. That is the most money I've ever seen spent on a party ever.
I mean, honestly, from what I have heard about your school, I find it insane that people were allowed to have bar mitzvahs.
The amount they spent on torches alone for the bar mitzvahs was through the roof.
No, I mean, like the Jewish kids there, they had to like prove that they belonged with the other races. So
along
they, you know,
with
they
normals.
Had to spend, they had to they spend had to... all this money on this elaborate ceremony.
Uh-huh. Like at Spencer's school, a bar mitzvah seems like a drug deal in like a bad part of the city's street corner in terms of like drive-by shooting potential.
Well, folks, that was it. Ben, Giordano, thank you all for coming on.
Yes, thank you.
Kind of talking about Clone Eye and mostly riffing. That's what we do on the show. We have more fun with it. So
hell yeah.
Thank you all for keeping up.
No worries. I'm sure eventually the spirit on our show will be broken and we'll just riff without like...
It's the best feeling on earth.
Oh my God, yeah.
Dropping the shackle from having to watch shit or talk about real shit. It's like taking a piss after you've been holding it for 7 hours.
You guys should get a third guy that you bully. That would like kind of
rattle. It's so much easier as well.
It's so much easier. Oh, God.
The freedom of knowing that if you can't come up with anything, you can just let the third guy talk and then be like, shut up, no matter what he says.
We have our friend JD for that, but we should have him on more often just to do that.
I'm terrible at talking, but like I'm a skilled linguist compared to Andy, so I get off so easy too. It's great.
The best part is when Andy's making like genuinely like a good point or a funny joke, and you're still just like, fuck you, shut up. Like, we're
you did that a couple times just to bully him. Like you would on our episode that you came on, or you came on our show for an episode, and you would ask for his opinion, like clearly just so you could bully him.
It's like heroin, yeah.
Charlie Brown and the football.
Happy birthday to our friend Andy.
Yeah, happy birthday, Andy. We love you.
Yeah, happy
you
birthday.
You are the best friends in the world.
You're the best part of the show.
There was a moment where Andy was trying to get a point out and he couldn't remember a word. So he was like, there was a, and you're like, come on, you got it. Let's go.
Encouraging him.
Yeah. It's not as
you
funny if he trips if he can't stand
his
up.
Throat like swine at one point.
Yeah.
Not on his birthday though.
Yeah.
No.
Day after.
Yeah, thank you so much for having us on the pod. It was a pleasure. I loved rewatching Clone High. If you're listening, subscribe to our pod. Remember Shuffle.
Yes, go watch their show.
Go watch them on YouTube. They got a YouTube channel.
Yeah, we appeared on their channel recently, like a month ago, for the seventh time.
There's a guy. There's like an alt-right guy in the comments who's mad at us for saying gay Stewie's better.
Woke.
Yeah, please give him a thumbs up. And respond to him and say like, this is facts.
We agree with you, brother.
Go to the Family Guy episode and upvote all of the comments that are mean to the hosts of those good old-fashioned values.
Yeah. Ryan Griffin's probably Jewish. You're right.
Triple parentheses, Brian.
His name should be Brian Griffstein.
So thank you all for listening. Remember Shuffle. Thank you for joining us, and we'll catch you all next time. Bye bye. Cool.
Peace. Catch out.
Later.
Bye, baby. This day, it's the food pyramid, and it's approved by the USDA. Whole grains are the foundation, so please take my advice. Have 5 to 11 servings of bread, cereal, or rice. 3 to 5 of vegetables and 4 of fruits is best. Their antioxidants and fiber help you to digest. 3 servings of yogurt, milk, and cheese will help your bones and subsidize the cattle industries. A body needs to grow, and growing takes routines. That's why meat can be a tasty treat like fish or human beings. When you eat your sweets, make sure you try to limit your servings or you'll die. Everybody! My body's a pyramid that's made of healthy food. So do what we say, eat right every day. I love you. Buy America.